Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
This hour is brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold and bring home the best today. Connie's, pizzeria quality no matter how you slice it.
Live from the First Midwest Bank,
a division of Old National Bank,
State Street Studio.
This is
Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie.
We are ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
What's up and welcome in to Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000 and streaming live on the ESPN Chicago app. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. Along with the good kid, John Yurkovich, Jonathan Hood with you. Spring trading is what we're doing. Yurk's part of Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2. I'm part of Cap and Jay Hood 7 to 10 every morning here on ESPN 1000. But this is a spring trading Wednesday, Yurk. And you got to understand, Yurk's not really happy about this here, that we're doing this telethon here until 6 o'clock. But no, because I woke up Yurk earlier. He did not like. I know you don't like the idea of the back and forth. You like to be able to lay out a little bit from time to time. But I won't allow you to do that. And this is why we don't work together very often, because you don't like that.
I love it. You know me. I love the involvement. I got caught in an article. It's happened with me and Carm.
Uh-huh.
This is not a strange thing. I'm in the midst of reading something, you know, preparing for the day's events in the news. And I happen to get caught in the $1,200 Dow drop today in the stock exchange.
That has nothing to do with the show.
I agree with you. It's got nothing to do with the show. Yeah. But I saw it. I clicked on it. Clickbait. The headline got me. I looked at it. I read it. All of a sudden, here, you're up, your question. I look at you, and I'm like, oh, no, I ain't got nothing. I got nothing for you, Johnny. I got nothing for Courtney, and I got nothing for you right now.
You had to answer that.
You said to me, yes. Oh, no, you're up. You're right. And I'm like,
that's right.
Blessed mother of thinking, help me now. And I went straight to Cole Kmet.
Yes. You turned red. Five beats of red. You were pissed off. You were pissed off with me for like 5 seconds. It was hot. It was like you were going to come across
Then what I do, I flipped it.
Yes.
And I transferred that energy into something productive.
That's right.
And then, boom, we went about the business of doing the show like we always do.
Yes.
Yes.
But you were not happy.
But now I am wary.
Yes.
I am very wary now.
I'm just talking to you.
Yeah. But during interviews, I'm very wary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I already know what we've got coming up with Jesse Rogers a little bit later on.
Yes.
I've got six in the holster right now.
Oh, six.
Six questions.
Wow. Can I lay out?
In the holster. I got a full holster.
Can I lay out?
No, if you'd like to, you can.
Oh, I can lay out.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to introduce Jesse and just lay out and listen to you ask your questions.
If that's what you would like to do, Jonathan, that's fine. That is perfect.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
No. I came up with it. And Tyler Akey was asking me himself.
Hmm.
He was asking, Yurk, you ready for it? And he goes, this could happen to you again. Hmm. I said, no. Oh, no, I got the full holster.
Six?
I got the 38. I got the six guns ready to rock and roll.
Wow.
Boom, boom, boom. Coming like a howitzer.
Uh-huh.
Boom, boom, boom. Coming with the questions.
I see.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Like a Gatlin gun. You know what a Gatlin gun is, right?
Yes, love their albums.
That's the one where not the Gatlin brothers.
Huh?
The Gatlin gun.
Oh.
Where you sit there and you got the old rotator going, yes, and it goes around, and it just keeps firing and firing and firing. It's a very dangerous gun. Did you see the new Magnificent Seven?
I've not seen it, no.
It had Christopher Pratt in it. It had Denzel Washington in it,
mm-hmm,
and others. Mm-hmm. And in that, they had a Gatlin gun, and boy, did it cause a lot of damage and dismay to the locals.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got to watch that.
You need the new one. It's the remake, the Magnificent Seven. Not the one with Yul Brynner.
Yes, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, it's Steve McQueen.
I understand.
Stay away from that one.
Okay.
This is Denzel and Christopher Pratt.
Better.
I think you like. I thought it was more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old school one was classic in style.
Sure.
And pacing.
Yes.
This one, a little bit more excitement in it.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the story. I think you'll like it, too.
The wife's always concerned when I watch old movies. She thinks that I'm at the end.
Right.
I said, no, I just
start to reminisce.
Yeah, she thinks I'm at the end, though. And she's always concerned. She comes in and is like, what are you watching? Like, watching a nice Turner classic movie.
Favorite pre-70 movie, if you had to go to, your one movie that you'd go to pre-1970.
Mm.
If you guys, you need some time to think. I'm going to tell you what mine is. It's not Magnificent
it's
Seven.
It's probably Steve McQueen something.
I got a little Clint Eastwood that I love every once in a while. But boy, if I catch it, Casablanca.
Ah, yes.
You give me a Casablanca, if it's on, I tell the boys, I said, boys, bend down the hatches, make some popcorn. We've got ourselves some Casablanca. Rick's Cafe, Humphrey Bogart, Victor Laszlo. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, what a great movie. I mean, we're talking about In the Wayback Machine.
Yes. Can I submit to you mine, Yerk?
Yeah, please do.
1964, Doctor Strangelove. That is one of my top three movies of all time, and I will watch it whenever it's on.
Doctor Strangelove.
Yes, Stanley Kubrick.
That was my honeymoon night. That's what we called it. Wow, is this Strangelove. Yes. Not Dr. Strangelove, but man, this is Strangelove. What the H is going on here? Tyler Akia, I don't want to ask pre-1970. I think we're going way too far for that.
I would agree with that, Yerk.
How about we go pre-1990 movie?
Pre-1990.
I mean, is that fair?
Well, okay.
Or do I got to go pre-2000?
Pre-2010. You might have to go like pre-2010.
Pre-2010.
Here's my thing is, I don't know a single year that these movies came out.
Oh, like, okay.
How about
Lion King? I mean, Finding Nemo. I mean,
Finding Nemo's not pre-1990, though.
No, but it could be pre-2010.
It is definitely pre-2010, Finding Nemo's a great movie.
Right. Well, I love Finding Nemo. Mm-hmm. Dory, I found to be the most engaging character.
See, I was having a discussion with Tyler yesterday, Hoodie, and I was learning that basically as a child, when he was 5 or 6 years old, he basically just spent his time in front of YouTube watching things.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I got banned from YouTube.
I got banned
from YouTube as a kid.
How?
I was put on a hiatus because do you remember the videos, the Fred videos? It was this little kid who would run around in a really high pitched voice, just causing havoc.
Right? You mean me? It was me on the YouTube.
Yeah, two to six.
Fred.
Yeah,
Fred Silverman.
But I would watch that, and my mom thought it was the stupidest thing, so my brother and I were banned from watching YouTube on our family PC for a while.
Your family did it. Your family stopped you from watching
it. It was a family ban. Mm-hmm. Right. We were all banned from YouTube.
All right. See, I was in 1970s, but I would say, since you said before 1970.
Pre-70.
So I'm thinking, I'm going Easy Rider.
Easy Rider.
Because that's 68, 69.
Oh, Dennis Hopper. Yeah.
Nice. And Butch. And Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. That's great also movie. Before 1970.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, because, great movie.
Because when you're born in the early 70s, Yerk, a lot of that stuff, some of those things were the Sunday night movie, right? You see it as a kid in the mid-70s.
Family classics on WGN with Frasier Thomas.
You watch this as a kid.
Yeah.
And so some of the stuff that was in the 60s kind of trickled over into the 70s.
Right.
So those became movies I saw as a kid with my family, late 70s.
Sure.
So that's why you stumped me at first with before 70, because I want to look up to date. Because I was going to give you Mr. Tibbs, but that's 1970.
Is that Blackboard Jungle?
Maybe in your neighborhood, no. But no, it was actually, that's not what we call it.
It was filmed in London, England.
That's not what we call it in our neighborhood.
Okay.
We call it something different.
All right.
Maybe yours is different. But Sidney Poitier, they call me Mr. Tibbs, 1970.
I get you.
Ah, you see.
1970.
Uh-huh.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Yes. So that didn't qualify. So that's why I couldn't give you that one.
I got you.
But, I mean, there's a lot of those cowboy movies. And like that. Those were the things.
A lot of your Clint Eastwood stuff was produced back then.
Yeah.
Fistful of Dollars, For a Few Dollars More, Hang 'Em High,
and
all the greats.
And don't change the color on it, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the color. I want a Technicolor. I want it black and white.
The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Don't change the color on it, though. They kind of colorize the John Wayne stuff. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it the way it was. That's why I like Turner Classic Movies and some of the other places. Leave it alone. Don't try to put any color. Don't try to modernize it. Don't put it on 4K. Just keep it the way it was.
The Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Ah, yes.
You ever see that one?
Ah, yes.
What was the whistling in that movie?
Yes.
I couldn't stop whistling for 3 weeks after that. That's it. I'm just walking around the neighborhood just whistling like a goofball. Because that's what they were doing to work on the bridge.
What's the matter with you?
I mean, that's a great movie. They forced the guy escapes, and then they force him to get caught again and go back. Craziness.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. With Yurko, I'm Jay Hood. And don't forget, we've got White Sox baseball coming your way.
Absolutely.
It's a 6:30 pregame.
Connor McKnight.
A 7:10 start, first pitch.
I'm excited about this.
You know who's doing the pitch?
Lucas Giolito is pitching for the Chicago White Sox tonight.
And he is healthy.
Giolito. He is 100% healthy.
So, again, we got a mixture of things going on,
including
trying to find out where Jimmy Butler is amongst the best in the NBA. There's an argument in the offices around here.
It was heated arguments today about Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, in the is it pre-show fist fight? Is that what you guys call it?
That's what they call it, yeah.
Pre-show fist fight.
Yeah, or with Tommy. And Tommy was just duking it out with me.
All this is going on here about whether or not Jimmy Butler's in the top 10 or not. I've got my 10. I'll tell you, I think that he belongs. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Jordan Logan Square on ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie. Hello, Jordan.
Hey, guys. Really quick. I love the show. Love the spring trading. I wanted to say, Ozzie Guillen can say whatever the heck he wants. He won a World Series championship here.
That's right.
He's got a free pass in my eyes to say whatever he wants. Love T.A., not mad at him either. But, yeah, Ozzie's good in my books. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Ozzie did win in 2005, 99 victories during the year. I know you were here. You were loving it. You were digging it. And when I say you were here, you were in Chicago.
Yes, making a lot of money.
Yes, you were.
A lot of money.
Yes, you were.
You guys gallivanted out to Houston. I was getting all the bar appearances. All of them.
Nothing wrong with that.
There I was at McNally's when the Sox won the World Series, right there in the heart of Beverly. And she liked it. Now, right in the heart of Beverly, Yerk, and let me just tell you, Yerk.
Yes.
It was outstanding. From 95th to 130th,
right.
You could not move.
Right.
Like they win the World
There's
Series.
A celebration.
I'm celebrating. Everyone's got brooms out when they beat Houston. All right, it's time to go home. There is no go home.
Beverly, Morgan Park over there, Mount Greenwood.
Could not go home.
Yeah.
Because of his cars in the streets.
Celebration.
There was no going home.
Yeah. We're celebrating. Right. And we were down there. You're right. We're in Houston celebrating. It was Minute Maid at the time.
Yeah.
And we're celebrating right there on the field. Watch Carl Everett take his jersey and stuff it in his wife's purse.
Yeah.
Said, no, this is mine. Nobody's getting this for me. And he literally shoved it in the wife's purse. And I'm like, well, they must be taking those jerseys back, I guess.
Yeah.
But he didn't even go back into the dugout with that.
Or
dugout, clubhouse, wherever they were going.
Both of those, yes.
That's where Bruce Levine gave us his famous, what was his line?
Clubhouse, dugout.
No, that was Tom Lasorda. That was him. He gave us the...
it was Don Zimmer, I think, who did that.
Don Zimmer did that
the
one,
clubhouse.
Yes.
I think the Bruce clubhouse. Gave you the here he comes, here he comes.
Here he comes, here he comes, here he comes. Yes. You bet, Bruce. Here they come, here they come, here they come. That was quite the celebration down there. Good times. And that's when Mac didn't work the next day.
In Calumet Heights, here is Austin on ESPN 1000. Hey, Austin.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up, Austin?
What's up?
Man, good things. I just wanted to thank you both. Y'all are my favorite reason. I listen to sports radio. I've been listening to you, Yerk, for true, I want to say, since 08 with Mac Jerk on Harry Show.
Thank you.
Loving it, man. Loving it. Love to mix up. Two of my favorites in one spot. Loving it. Same time, John Hood. I grew up in around the same neighborhood, man. Your cousin said he had a cousin in radio, like Jonathan Hood. I'm like, what? Can't be Jay Hood.
Yes.
Ken J. Hood. That's so cool, man. And last thing, the Bears got some new energy, so have faith, my friends. I think they're going to definitely have a winning season. I ain't saying win the Super Bowl, but, man, I know the Bears are going to show out, man. I'm so glad to have some new energy, some new faces, some new people, and I think the Bears are going to rock out. Y'all have a great evening, man. I appreciate you.
All right, Austin, thanks so much for checking in. I don't foresee the Bears, Yerk, having like this Bengals-like renaissance coming out of nowhere to be able to win and get to the Super Bowl because there's layers to this. Just because Pace and Nagy are out doesn't necessarily mean that the Bears win this year. You got to realize, as we talked about earlier, it's about pillars. It's about pillars, difference makers,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You just can't just roll the ball out and say, oh, the Bears are going to get to the Super Bowl because it doesn't work that way. You still need the development of Justin Fields. You got to figure out who's going to be a ball hawk or two in the secondary. How's the offensive line going to hold up for Fields? Who's going to be the weapons for Justin Fields? So when you have more questions than answers about a football team, that tells you all you need to know.
I don't know who these guys are. I don't know who Poles is.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't know who Eberflus is. I know what they were, but I don't know what they are when they're in charge. And these guys are in charge now.
So it'll be interesting to see what forms here as you move forward.
As we go to Patrick in D.C. listening on the ESPN Chicago app here on Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Pat?
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Zetterman did a good job for once. I'm loving the switch out. this is a question for Yerk. Please know, listen every morning. You brighten up my morning, you know. Kind of a tough 3 years. We've all been going through that. But take that.
Yes, sir.
And Yurko.
Yerk.
Let's talk about the Champions League final. How do you think Modric's going to line up against Tendo?
May 28th, yep. We got the final against Liverpool. Real Madrid against Liverpool, and it's been interesting what Real Madrid has been doing. They played all three in the midfield. They play Modric, they play Casemiro as the defensive mid, and Cruz, but they also got Valverde playing.
I think Fabinho is going to be back for Liverpool. I'm a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, he is.
And I know you like Salah as well.
Right, I'm a big fan of Salah.
Might not be in. He got hurt.
Okay, but Sané is still there, right?
Jets coach? Salah?
Jets coach. No, that's Salah. Mohamed.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Mane. Yeah. What do I keep saying? Sané?
Keep saying Sané.
Yeah, it's Mane.
Not Leroy Sané. Yeah. Sadio Mane.
Sadio Mane, yeah. So your midfield there. Jordan Henderson in your midfield?
Correct.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I got Henderson, I got Fabinho, and who else is in your midfield?
It's probably Thiago if he's not hurt, which he always is.
It'll be Thiago. He's 31 too. That's where the game will be decided.
Splitter's good.
In the midfield.
Yep.
And Benzema has been hotter than hot.
That's right.
And he's going to win the Ballon d'Or this year. So Benzema's been hotter than hot, but we got Rodrigo. We got Vinicius coming off the corner.
Vinny Jr., that's the key.
You got one strong winger.
Yeah, a lot of dangerous play coming off the corners, but they need to show the quality. And Rodrigo has, but Vinicius hasn't. So that's where we're waiting for the quality. I predict 3-2 Real Madrid champions.
I'd love to do it. Yeah. I'd love to do a side bet off air.
Sandwich bet, Wada. Sandwich bet.
We'll get a side bet in. Hold on here. We'll get a bet in.
Hold on, Patrick.
And Jeff Miller is a Liverpool fan also.
Yeah.
Big Liverpool fan. And he'll argue with me.
And I know Hoodie would absolutely agree with this assessment right now. The key is going to be Trent Alexander-Arnold. He is the right fullback for Liverpool.
Yes,
he is the best crosser and service in the world, I would say right now going.
Yes, right.
But he can be exploited, and this is where I think Real Madrid is going to have a huge advantage.
On the counter?
Vinny Jr. is one of the fastest players in the world, and if they can get behind Trent Alexander-Arnold, there will be opportunities for Madrid and Benzema, obviously, on the receiving end from Vinny. So I think that's where the key is going to be. If Real Madrid makes Liverpool pay for getting forward, then it will be the death of them. But I think Liverpool will have more possession, so can they take advantage of their opportunities?
Liverpool, without question, is a team for the ages. But I think that the key for them is the depth. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? Multiple guys that can make a difference for that club. So I think that that's going to be the difference. It's probably one of the deepest teams that's going to be in the field.
Hoodie was watching yesterday.
The field's down to two.
Hoodie was watching yesterday when Liverpool's depth got them a 2-1 win yesterday Premier League, Championship Sunday alive.
Now, keep in mind, one of the places that rocks is St. Mary's Stadium. Think about the circuit, right? St. Mary's Stadium, quality when it comes to that.
I was always a big fan of the Stadium of Light.
Yeah?
Yeah, always a big fan of the Stadium of Light. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great game on the 28th. Every time Real Madrid here lately, when they went 3 in a row and they won La Decima, every time they get to the Champions League final, they win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If they get knocked out before, but if they get to the final, they're winners. And I think they're in the final now. It's been a miracle. It's been a miracle run. You can't deny that, can you, Meller? The way they beat PSG, the way they beat Chelsea.
The PSG win was certainly
I mean, the way they've beaten all these
surprising
teams, it's been an absolute miracle run.
Man City, the way they beat Man City.
They beat all three. I mean, they're knocking out giants. Paris Saint-Germain, they're not beating up on Villarreal. They're not beating up on the peons of the world. They're beating all the big clubs.
They're knocking out Giants like they're the plucky underdog, Yerk.
Yes, Real Madrid is the plucky underdog. I agree with you. But the way they're winning, the way they're coming back, is what's making this run a miracle run. And now, listen, Liverpool wins in extra kick. What is it, penalty kicks? Penalty kicks. They've got two trophies on penalty kicks this year. They're not going to take the title from Manchester City. They won't win the European final. Real Madrid win. They'll win 2 of 4, and it'll be a somewhat successful season for Jurgen Klopp, the manager, and Liverpool.
Now, this is the negative of spring trading, right? Because you couldn't care less about their ratings, about Waddle and Sylvie. So you just do 5 or 6 minutes of soccer talk.
This
and drive
is
time.
A melting
you,
pot.
You could not care
this
less.
This is an absolute melting pot. The city of Chicago.
Yeah.
You've got more soccer fans out there, international soccer fans, than even you can imagine.
Uh-huh.
When Ricketts was going to buy the team, the guy, local guy from Chelsea, said, "We don't support it." And guess who didn't get it? Ricketts didn't get to buy Chelsea. Why? Because the local guy here who leads Chelsea would not let it happen. That's the impact that's made.
Are we doing a special show, Yerk, the day after Thanksgiving when we've got the U.S. and England in the World Cup?
That deserves a special show.
I would think so.
It deserves one special show.
The Bears aren't playing on Thanksgiving, are they, Hoodie?
No, they're not. No, they're not for once. And by the way, that's why God made podcasts. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. It's unbelievable.
Over 70 million podcasts, only 10 make money.
It's unbelievable. Right here, I know this is not our show, but for God's sakes,
we will break the World Cup down, too. I can't wait for that.
God.
And who won the last pool? The last World Cup we had, Yurko won the pool. I had both Croatia and England. Oh, you've got to love the good kid.
Sorry, Sylvie. Sorry, Waddle.
He'll be in here to argue with us.
So that's unbelievable. More on soccer. Here's John in St. Charles on ESPN 1000. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
What's happening?
Welcome to football.
Well, thanks. I've got a question about, I love everything that the new regime at the Bears is doing, except keeping their promise about building a scheme around the quarterback instead of shifting the quarterback to the scheme. And I need Yurko to explain to me why in the first OTAs they switched his feet around, his base, and he proceeds to go 0-for-7 when he's throwing off the thing at the end of the OTA session. Now, they're starting a new session up, but isn't that changing the fundamentals of the athlete instead of changing your scheme?
Anytime you're making adjustments to anybody, you're trying to make that player more efficient. So what they're trying to do is put him in a position where he can win. So if you ask somebody to do something different than what they've been doing before, you can't expect instantaneous success. What you're hoping that you work on it, and while you're working on it, you make yourself more efficient. Okay? One of the worst things I ever see with somebody trying to field a baseball is watching a guy undercut himself. And what I mean by undercutting himself is he's wide, and then as he goes to make a move to the right, he takes one step with his right foot to the left and then crosses over. So he's taken two steps, and he's gone nowhere. So that's improper footwork. So when a coach looks at a player, and he's watching him, and he said his footwork is sloppy, if we create the better footwork, we're going to get him back to where he needs to be so he can see things develop on the field a little bit quicker, whether it's in a 3, 5, or 7-step drop. That's why you want to change it, to make the player more efficient. Don't worry about the early results. What you're worried about is game one results. Okay? Anytime a golfer changes his swing, he goes through a little bit of a hesitation. Mm-hmm. Whether he changes equipment or he changes his swing, there's going to be a little bit of a lag time between the change and the actual production on either the golf course and or the football field.
And he's got enough of an offseason to try to figure all this out, right?
It's not like it's tomorrow. Plenty of time, yes.
Got plenty of time to figure it out.
Plenty of time to get the footwork down right.
Now, we won't see any of this in the preseason, of course. They're going to wait. They're going to expedite this right to the San Francisco game.
This is why I'm asking. This is why I asked the most pertinent question, I believe, today.
Oh, did you?
Well, I believe it was. It doesn't mean it was. It's just what I believe.
Oh, I see.
And, that was the how they're going to take the preseason. Are they going to take it considered important, and they're going to play their guys and try to get answers, or are they going to do what the old staff did and do nothing? And treat it like it was a joke and not try to give stuff away. Tom Coughlin didn't care about giving stuff away in the preseason. He goes, rather than prepare for a little bit, I want you to prepare for everything. We threw the kitchen sink at everyone when we played. You know why? We didn't care. Mm-hmm. Prepare for everything. We'll show you a million things. You've got to prepare for all of them.
Still to come, we're going to hear from Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and the White Sox, and also get your top 10 ready. Is Jimmy Butler part of your top 10 in the NBA as the Miami Heat? They were able to beat the Boston Celtics last night in the NBA playoffs, so we're going to get some thoughts on that and more. It is Southside Pride with John Yurkovich. Yurko, the good kid. I'm Jay Hood on Waddle and Sylvie.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app, along with the good kid, John Yurkovich. Yurko, I'm Jay Hood. We're here with you until 6 o'clock, and then it'll be Bleck working with Sylvie. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Bleck
should
and Sylvie.
Should be fun.
That should be fine.
I'm sorry.
From 6 to 6:30.
22 minutes of action.
Yes. And then from there, White Sox baseball. That'll be an hour from now. It'll be White Sox baseball as they take on the Royals. 6:30 pregame with Connor McKnight and the 7:10 first pitch with Lennon DJ right here on ESPN 1000. Speaking of baseball, we turn to Jesse Rogers. The fastest man in Northbrook is brought to you by Toyota Dealer Association. Again, Toyota. Chicago's Toyota Dealer. Let's go places. All right, Jess, what's happening?
Well, the Cubs are going for their third consecutive shutout. Take that. I mean, they're 15 mm-hmm. and 20, but that's they are pitching well. They have like a 140 ERA over the last week, but that's against the Pirates and D-backs. So I'm at Wrigley for that tonight, but I'll be watching Giolito's return from COVID and all that. Speaking of COVID, the Cubs have had a few. Jason Hayward's on the list, but Stroman came off today. He'll pitch tomorrow. David Robertson, their closer, came off today. They moved another guy, Hermosillo, on the list. So they've had a mini outbreak here, but I guess it hasn't really affected them against the Pirates the last few days.
What's been working for the Chicago Cubs?
Mostly their pitching. Mostly their pitching, as I said. I mean, Justin Steele has looked good. Keegan Thompson has looked good. Now, have they looked good against the elite teams? Not necessarily, but you got to start somewhere. And like I said, look, they won 2 out of 3 against the Padres. They won 2 out of 3 against the Diamondbacks. And then they come here, and they've already won the first two in shutout fashion. Their pitching is decent. Their pitching is decent. We'll see what happens as they move to the summer, and Milwaukee comes in here, and St. Louis, they haven't even played yet, Yerk. But, look, there's some positives. It's not just Kyle Hendricks, who's getting a little bit older, but still, you know, you consider in his prime. It is some young guys. It is some guys that have kind of come out of nowhere. So I think there's good things going on here. Look, if you're not paying the ticket prices and you just want to watch from home, it's kind of a scrappy, fun team. I've said this a few times, not against the Dodgers last weekend or whatever it was, but they hang in there, and there's pieces for the future. Again, you want to pay $400 for your family to come watch it necessarily? No, but you want to see them for the future? Yes, and I do think they will fill the stands in the summer because there is something for the future to watch here. They will fill it a little bit, at least.
With all the things surrounding Wilson Contreras, why is he so happy? He's jumping around. He's got joy. He's got happiness in his heart.
You know, I think that's a great point. I think part of it is certainly playing free and easy in his walk year, becoming the leader. And a small part of it is the pressure's kind of off. I mean, if you look back now, and I was here, obviously, pretty much was a very tight team those last few years with the Rizzos and the Baez and the Bryants. You know, they underachieved. Things got tight. It wasn't loose and free like it was in 15 and 16. Willie is playing like it's 2015 again. He's got an arbitration hearing next month, Yerk. You think he might be stressed about that? But you know what? He's either going to make $9 million or $10.25 million. I talked to him today about that. It's like, either one's kind of nice, but I'd like the $10 million. And there's a lot of layers to what that's going to look like. Gary Sanchez, another catcher, has a hearing scheduled as well, so it might depend on what he gets. But he's happy because he's a free agent. He's having a good year. Pressure's kind of off. That, I think, has sort of helped. And he's about to make either $9 million or $10 million. So I think those are the answers.
Say, Suzuki came out like gangbusters. Cool down. Are we ready for round two of this guy? The league figured him out. Now is he figuring the league out?
I think so. I think so. You see signs of him coming out of it. I think with him, when he's walking, that's going to help. You always heard Joe Madden used to say, if you're walking, you're hitting almost, you've heard that phrase. And most guys that come out of slump start by walking. And he's driving the ball a little bit more. So yes, I think so, but it was a prolonged slump. I won't deny it, man. He went from really hot to really cold. Maybe it's not that crazy because it is the game of baseball, but I think he's starting to come out of it. The key thing is that the competition is going to go up again. They're going to face some good pitching in Milwaukee and St. Louis and stuff. And, he needs to adjust and be able to help carry this team because offensively they are challenged. There are times where they've looked good the last couple of days. It's the Pirates. But against the elite teams, they don't have enough power. I've said that a few times. And, there's a lot of moving parts here. Guys in and out of lineup because David Ross is trying out guys.
Do you suspect this is an aberration, this four-game win streak, or do you believe this is something that continues?
No, I think it's somewhat of an aberration. Could they inch towards 500? Yes. Will they move way past 500? No. No. This is more about the competition than it is about the Cubs. However, Ross talked about it today. Stroman's back tomorrow, and you finally have the rotation you thought about coming out of spring training. Hendricks, who finally has looked good the last couple starts. Stroman back. Wade Miley, who just threw well on Monday, who was not here for about a month. Justin Steele now with some games under his belt. So I will say, again, I think they can stay in a lot of games. They can be scrappy. But, no, this four-game streak I don't think is going to turn into some 10-game streak. And they're in the race all of a sudden. I just don't think there's enough there.
On to the White Sox, my friend. A little bit of a brouhaha with Tim Anderson not playing in the second one. And, Ozzie Guillen offering his honest thoughts, saying he wishes he was Tim Anderson. But he's not Tim Anderson, and he was hoping Tim Anderson would play. Is it much to do about nothing, or do we got a little bit of an issue here?
Well, it's probably much to do about nothing, but here's my opinion on all of that stuff. First of all, Ozzie has every right to say it. He's got the resume. I mean, right? He's in the game. If one of us said it'd be okay, but he can really say whatever he feels. I don't think TA should be responding on Twitter. It does him no good. No good to respond to media stuff like that. It's the postgame show. I mean, it's the White Sox own postgame show. So it does TA no good to do that. Having said all that, Yurko, it's a doubleheader, game 33 or 35 or whatever it is. It's okay not to play both ends. If this was game 130 in a pennant race, different story. But TA's had some problems. He's gone on the IL in the past. There's a long season. I mean, we're talking about a doubleheader. We're not talking about three night games in a row and he has to sit one. I have no problem with him sitting out a game this early in the season. And I don't think any Sox fan should, because you want to see this team peaked in the first half last year. You want everybody peaking and healthy in the second half. You need nights off like that on the back end of a doubleheader.
You're listening to the dulcet tones of ESPN reporter Jesse Rogers joining Hoodie and Yurko today on the Waddle and Sylvie show. You take a look. How long can the White Sox continue to just tread water?
Probably for a while, because no one's going to run away with it. I don't think Minnesota can run away with this thing. I don't think anybody in that division can. So they can probably tread water for a while. Lynn is going to be back soon. There's more good than bad in the White Sox near future. As long as there aren't new injuries, and there always are, so I guess I shouldn't say this for sure, but I think they can tread water. Minnesota's nothing that special. They're good. I don't think they're gangbusters. They're not gangbusters. They're not like this team that's going to run away with things. They've already proven that. They had a run. Now things have kind of evened out a little bit for them. The White Sox need to go on their run. I don't know when that's going to happen, though. Like, they do have to clean up their errors, and there's moments where they've looked good on defense. They do need to take more walks. Their offense has been underwhelming, but their pitching staff has looked great, almost like the Cubs. They have survived on the mound. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, Johnny Cueto's performance. We'll see if he can do it at Yankee Stadium when he starts there. That Kopech and Cease are going to be good because their stuff is good. So as long as Lance Lynn comes back looking like the Lance Lynn of last year, or at least the first half, I think they're going to be fine here. Are they going to run away with it? I can't answer that, but I think they're going to be fine.
Think about that, Jesse. He gave you six questions in a row. That's the most he's answered. That's the most questions he's asked all month. It's amazing.
All year.
Is that because I gave him crap this morning? Well, first he gave me crap this morning when I saw him.
Yes.
And then I gave him crap back, and now here he goes with six straight questions.
How about that? And a reset. And a half-ass reset, but not bad.
Hey, a reset nonetheless.
Yes.
How about that?
A quarter reset would be good.
How about that? Jesse, well, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, boys. You're the best. Take care.
There he is, Jesse Rogers. He covers the Cubs and Sox for ESPN.com. Brought to you by your Chicago Toyota Dealer Association. Toyota, let's go places.
I'm glad I didn't say I had a baker's dozen worth of questions.
I'll tell you what. Good Kid is going to sleep hard tonight.
Yes.
He's worked hard here in this telethon that's known as Wallen and Sylvie.
I'm telling you, 4 hours of magic.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, listen. The three-hour ride is the perfect ride.
No question.
225 is not a bad little ride in itself.
Oh, the Golden Hammock.
The Golden Hammock.
Yeah.
The four-hour power hour. Yo, dude, I mean, that's a trip to Green Bay.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's tough.
You going to be able to play bocce tonight?
I think I'll make it, guys. I'll be able to roll the balls. I'll be able to roll them balls.
All right. So, Jimmy Butler yesterday, and Tyler, we saw this yesterday where the Boston Celtics fell to the Miami Heat. And Jimmy was outstanding. 41 points, 17 for 18 from the foul line. He had 17 points in the third quarter to lead the Heat past the Celtics. And there's questions whether or not Jimmy Butler is a top 10 player. A lot of controversy in the hallways here about whether he's a top 10 player. I have him in my top 10. In no order, Jimmy Butler is amongst Giannis, LeBron, Joel Embiid, Luka, Steph, Jokic, Durant, Tatum, and Booker. What am I missing? I didn't put Kawhi in there because we don't even know if he's still real.
Haven't seen Kawhi in a while.
Yeah.
I mean,
should I put Kyrie in there over Booker?
Well, that gets into the whole other thing. Like, what are you getting with Kyrie, too? To me, I would even put Jimmy Butler ahead of Booker, too. I mean, what has Devin Booker done that Jimmy Butler hasn't done?
Sure. Sure, that's fine. But you agree that Butler is a top 10 player.
I agree with you. Yep.
And it's more than just the playoffs, though, York. I mean, remember when we first saw him, defensive player out of Marquette. He was a perfect pivotal player, a defensive stalwart. That's what he was. And then he was able to blossom into a terrific two-way player. Went to Minnesota, Philly. The standards weren't there for him. That's why he went to get his own place in Miami. And even though he's a superstar, maybe he doesn't shine as brightly as Giannis or LeBron has or Steph Curry, but definitely he's a top 10 player, right?
He's a competitor. I mean, the guy loves to compete. You can't argue with that. He likes to get out there. He likes to mix it up, even if he's mixing it up with his own coach sometimes.
That's right.
Yeah, but you can never say he's not prepared to play.
I agree with that.
Okay, so I mean, that's what I'd say about him.
So I don't know what the controversy is around here.
Does every team have a superstar? Is the question I'd ask you. Does every team have one superstar?
That's remaining in the playoffs?
No.
In the league.
I'm talking about in the league.
Oh, no.
All 30 teams. So not every team has a superstar.
No.
Do some teams have more than one superstar?
Yes.
Okay. So
That's in Brooklyn.
Right. In that case, then, how many true superstars can you have? I think he is a star in this league. I think he has the ability to really blow up and have great games for you, okay? But is he a guy day in, day out that you look at and say, hey, Jimmy Butler's the stud? And if he is, then he's your superstar.
I think he is.
And if you say no, then he's not a superstar.
But the reason why that's tamped down is because of that Heat culture. He blends in with a very good team set up by Riley and Spoelstra.
You want to be part of the unit there.
That's right.
That's the way they're going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like it, then hasta la bye-bye.
That's how it works there. So I believe that Butler is a tie. And again, a former Bull, we give him a shout out because the Celtics were up in the first half and then Butler just took over the ball game. So it was great. And then we'll see what happens tonight with your guy, Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
And the Mavericks taking on Golden State tonight at 8 o'clock.
Interesting. I'm going to watch that one.
You want to see?
I'm staying awake for that one. Usually, you know, if I watch MLB, it puts me to sleep. But basketball keeps me awake. And you didn't ask me for my top 10, but it would be Doncic, Jokic, Dragic, Bogdanović, Marjanović. Mm-hmm. All the inches coming down the pipeline at you.
That's why I didn't ask you, because I knew it was going to have European flavor.
Oh.
And I just want everyone to know, I'm giving you fair warning.
Giannis.
Is he on the list too, Giannis?
Giannis.
Does he make?
Well, yeah. We call that the former South Yugoslavia, part of the Balkans, Greece.
Okay, so you don't mind. You make the list. Seventh or eighth. So what I would say to you, everybody, is that if Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks win the championship, my God, John Yurkovich, he will never stop talking about it.
He's a Slovene, but we will not stop talking about
you
it.
Will, you, oh, my God.
And then Dragic, two Slovenes. It's all right.
Oh, my God. We will crosstalk with Bleck and Sylvie coming up right here on Waddle and Sylvie.
This hour brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course, home of the $39 Wednesday special that includes golf and a cart. For tee times, go to golfsanctuary.com.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Which is why I think he should be able to have a considerable payday this offseason.
All right, John, go right ahead. Go ahead, John. What's your next question? On the Bears. Go ahead. You got some thoughts?
No, nothing whatsoever, John.
Bears, go ahead. It's your turn.
I love you, Johnny.
What? No, you don't.
I absolutely love you. Yeah, listen. Cole Kmet.
Yes.
Tight end.
Ah.
Needs to make a bigger impact. Had a big impact last year, though it didn't happen in the end zone. And didn't come with touchdowns. Okay, what does he have to do to take that next step to get more touchdowns this year?
Can I kick it?
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Right out of an article, Johnny got me. And I'm looking, I'm laughing because I know I'm in deep water.
Yeah. Yeah, I love you. You know what that I love you, John, means? I want to kill you.
Yes.
Right now. That's what that means.
But it came out, I love you.
Yeah.
It didn't
yeah.
come out, I wanted to kill you.
It was a red-faced Yurko,
yeah.
and he was angry at me, and then it just simmered down. It simmered.
I was laughing.
It was, no, you were not happy at that moment.
I was laughing.
So that was the best. That was one of the highlights here at Waddle and Sylvie. And we thank you for listening and calling me, being part of Waddle and Sylvie today for spring trading. Thanks to Jeff and Tyler on the other side of the glass and Jesse and Courtney being our guests. Time now for Crosstalk. Talk with Bleck and Sylvie as we continue our spring trading. Hello, gentlemen.
What's up, guys?
More touchdowns. Can you get them?
I love that.
Right?
I was sitting upstairs listening to you guys, and I heard the silence, and then I heard John. And then
started to chuckle.
I was like, oh, Yurk.
That's right. When you can't cry, you chuckle. Do you understand? When you can't cry, you chuckle. At that point, he went to me. I looked up at him, and I'm like, I was like a kid caught in a candy store. You know,
how many guys at the radio station can get away with that? And not what you did,
what
Hoodie did.
What are you talking about?
Well, I don't think if I did that, I think you would have punched me in the face.
I don't point fingers, guys.
When you point a finger, wrung his neck. I mean,
when you point a finger, there's three pointing straight back at you.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That's what you got to remember. I told Johnny I had a six-pack of questions for Jesse Rogers.
I heard
I didn't have a six-pack.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, he puts the scoreboard up after the first one. Oh, my God. You better start rattling these off
scoreboard.
It's like how you took me through the beer frame. I went through the six frame.
Hey, man, you said you had a six-pack of questions for Jesse. It was great.
I'm like,
Sylvie was great. Yeah. I just laid back. I just did the read, the open and close of the Jesse. It reminded me of you with Mariotti. Just doing the open and the close and nothing to say in the middle.
Yeah, I worked with Mariotti. I had to sit out for the first 20 minutes. Couldn't say a thing.
So did Mark.
I'm like, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
He would throw it to me, and then Sean Witt, our old producer, would say, you guys have to go to break. And then Sylvie, hold your thought. We'll get to it after the break. Yeah. So it was a monologue for the first segment. And then I got to address. And then if it wasn't something that he agreed with, I could get a voicemail on my phone.
If you didn't agree that you hated Jerry Reinsdorf, you couldn't get a question.
Reinsdorf is not doing the job. He is cheap, not handing the organization. Sylvie, Mark Silverman in here with us. Hold on. We will get to you next segment. Mark Silverman here, Jay Mariotti, ESPN 1000.
You got like the box out, right?
Yes.
To break. The box out to
the
break.
The box out. Oh, yes.
We'll get to Sylvie in a second. Hey, let's go to break.
It's unbelievable. It's just the way it was, though.
Yeah.
Hey, we all have those, right, throughout our career. Yurko, you have many of those stories, I'm sure. From the heyday? Not like freeze-out stories, but
my favorite
war
question.
Stories.
Yeah, war stories. You certainly have those. But my favorite question to ask back then in 02 was, is it a good time for this team to go out and run?
That
was my invariable question to Bruce Levine.
Every day.
What do you think, Bruce? It's a good time to go out and run? No. Once a week. Once a week.
I like that because then you can gauge throughout the season if there's a run happening or not.
Can we have one?
Yeah.
And if we had one, did it make a difference?
It most certainly did.
Now, this is going to be the fastest 30 minutes for you, Sylvie. Can you handle it now? Because I know you're used to doing these telethons every
Brace
day.
Yourself.
2-6, for God's sake.
So. I love how you called the Jerry Lewis telethon.
It really is. It really is. It's the Jerry Lewis. Every 4 hours is ridiculous.
Especially
every
that
day.
First 45-minute segment you guys have.
Oh, my God.
45 minutes now.
That's what it feels like.
Oh, wow. My God.
Sylvie, you guys changed the clock that much?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We revamped some stuff. We're having some fun.
45.
Well, no, right. Not 45.
Feels
but
that way.
for during an interview when you don't have a question and you ask, can Cole Kmet score more touchdowns?
Nah, I said Cole Kmet had a productive year, but he didn't have it in the end zone. Can we get more production out of him?
Love you, John.
Yes.
Love you, John.
Yeah. John, I love you.
John.
You think if Cap did that to Yurko, what would happen during the break? If I did that to Yurko, Hoodie's one of the few guys at the radio station who could get away. Yes.
John, yeah. Southside Pride.
That's why, because Southside Pride.
Southside Pride.
Southside Pride.
Don't be upset about it.
Southside Pride.
Southside
all
Pride.
All those stores, though, that you guys were mentioning earlier, yeah. I mean, we had those in Skokie, too. It's not like we were living the high life in Skokie back in the day. Like Venture, like
Miller High Life?
All those places.
I remember Venture.
Yes.
Venture replaced Turnstile from back in the day. All the great Radio Shack. I mean, it was a.
Well, did you have a Goldblatt's? We had a Goldblatt's in beautiful Hammond, Indiana.
Oh yeah,
when I was much younger.
Chicago.
Yeah, Goldblatt's went to the wayside. Yeah,
that's right.
No good for Goldblatt's. York, you get everything there.
York, if I don't know if you see this, but Jerry Lewis has his tie off and the scroll and the scroll continues to run. Yeah. So we'll step out of their way here.
Oh, don't you have to sing to us though? Doesn't Jerry Lewis sing?
I don't know if he ever
at the end.
Yes.
I think he sings to everybody.
Do you ever have a good voice?
No.
No, I don't think
ladies.
So.
Ladies!
Hey, yes. And the French loved him. You knew the French are messed up if they love Jerry Lewis.
Coming up next is Bleck and Abdallah for our entire crew for York, I'm Jay Hood.
Well, have a good night. Hey. It'll be Sylvie and Bleck coming up next. Good night, Allie.